You're called to lead a nation, but your foundation as a leader has to be firmly rooted and grounded in the Word of God.
We have a huge, huge heart for seeing leaders raised up and going into every realm of society.
People don't follow leaders who have it all together. They follow leaders who are real.
As a leader, when you think of servanthood, it's not something you grow out of. It's something that hopefully you would grow in.
If leadership is influence, everybody has influence. What are you doing with the influence you currently have?
As a leader, you're more anointed and more equipped to do what you're called to do when you are just being yourself.
At the end of my life, I don't want to look back and think, I didn't really do anything that required faith.
Circumstances don't make or break you, they reveal you.
You can bear fruit on roots that aren't very deep, but it's not gonna last.
You are not called to lead a nation based on your feelings. You're called to lead a nation where Jesus says to go.
This is the Jesus Culture Leadership Podcast.
Well, we're back. This is part two of the Ladies Podcast.
Hey, hey.
Woo woo.
Oh, yeah.
We're back, and we're thinking of taking over, or we should just start a competing podcast.
Well,
it could
absolutely.
Also be called the JCLP.
You know,
Jesus Culture Ladies.
I love
podcast.
The sound of that.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just like how Zach and I have a competition over our women's and men's gatherings. Even
Which
though
men's gatherings?
The men haven't had a gathering, but Zach is sure he's going to get more men to come out to burn Christmas trees.
Oh, my gosh.
Good
prove
luck. It.
Yeah, exactly.
You're talking
we'll
for local
about
church, JC.
Just for local church, yeah. Yes. It's not going to happen.
That's right. So we're back. As always, I'm here. My name is Becky Johnson, and I'm joined by three amazing women. Introduce yourselves.
I am Laura Burhans.
I'm Kim Walker-Smith.
And I am CJ Leapshire.
And we had fun a couple weeks ago. We were talking about leading with friends, and so we're back to keep discussing that topic. And speaking of the women's gathering, the message this month is from your last women's gathering.
Yes.
Where we talked about friendship, and mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun. But we'll jump into that in a minute. I am the Christmas, I'm very strict on the season that Christmas decoration and music happens. So it's like, I don't listen to anything before Thanksgiving and then right on New Year's Day. Like, my plans every January 1st is to take the house down, all the Christmas decorations down.
Mm-hmm. I'm the same way.
Yeah.
I'm the same way. Because after a little while, I'm like, oh, it's just not right. I want things like clean and everything put away. And I start to think in my head, and if I don't take care of this now, it's going to sit there for a really long time.
Till March.
Yeah. Yes.
CJ knows something about that.
Yeah, horrible.
Well, I do want to say that my grandma is exactly like you two. And she spends New Year's Day taking her tree down too, which just goes to prove that Becky really is a grandma in a young woman's body.
Oh my gosh.
Aww.
It just doesn't have a place. Like, I want to be done with the Christmas season. It's over.
Yes.
I enjoyed it. Let's pack it up and we'll bring it out next year.
I'm actually agree. I just am not a Nazi in that I have to take it down on New Year's Day.
I've been over at your house on Valentine's Day and the tree was still up.
Oh, shush.
Oh, my word.
That's an exaggeration.
Whoa.
But I will say, I take it down when I feel like it. So sometimes it's the 26th of December,
whoa.
But sometimes it gets down.
The 26th of April.
When I feel like it. All right.
Wow. What about you, Laura?
Yeah, I'm the same. I got to take it down. I feel like a slacker or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
I feel like I'm behind. I'm not relevant anymore.
The neighborhood judges
it's
you.
Weird.
'Cause, like, why are I judge the people. I'm like, why are your lights still up?
Yeah.
It's January 3rd. Come on, people.
You
right.
are the old lady.
Yes, she is. No, she is.
I'm judging all you people.
You guys, this is why we don't put outside lights on. Because, well, number one, Banning is awful at this type of stuff.
He really is
so
a Grinch.
One year, I convinced him to put lights up, and the kids were so happy. And those lights did not come down till there was a huge storm in April that blew them halfway hanging off our house. And they stayed that way for weeks, just hanging.
Oh, my word.
It was embarrassing. So it's never happened again.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
If we put lights up too high, where Robert... we don't have like a ladder or something, he will not take them down.
Oh my gosh.
I will tell him all the time, can you please take it? It'll be the middle of the, you know, the beginning of the year, and he's still not taking them down.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm a resolution setter. I don't know
Definitely.
If I'm a follow through wear, but.
I am not.
I do have a goal. I have a goal. Let's share a goal for 2016. Let's not go resolution. That has a just has a lot of pressure. But yeah. Just a goal. I want to journal more. Whether that's journal or write or just process thoughts. That's been my goal every year since I was like 18. And sometimes I'm really good at it.
Well, now that you've said it, I will keep you accountable.
Thank you.
I'm going to ask you every day.
Yes. Yeah. Love that. So that's mine. What about you,
C? Well, in all honesty, I would like my son to eat more than a carbohydrate. He eats salt and vinegar potato chips pretty steadily once we get home. And I don't think that's going to sustain a healthy lifestyle. So
they are really, don't his lips get burned?
No, he's got a skill. I'm not sure what he's going to do with that in life, but he's got a skill.
That's awesome. He can eat a lot of salt.
That is impressive.
He would eat steak and then potato chips and be completely satisfied.
I mean, steak and potatoes.
Yeah. He's just
that's
a man's
classic man.
And then to get a little dairy and he eats a lot of Cheez-Its.
Perfect.
It's good. I'm really proud. I'm really proud of what I've done so far.
Perfect.
Oh, I think that this is probably going to sound kind of funny, but I guess my biggest goal of 2016 is to get happier. I am a little bit of a workaholic, and I just work really hard and run really hard. I have had a job since I was 16 years old. I have never in my life not had a job. Mm-hmm. And growing up in, like, you know, farmlands in Oregon, work ethic is just ingrained in us. Like, work hard, take on as much as you can, just keep working. So it's good. I accomplished a lot of things, but I feel like this last year, you know, this last year was a hard year for me, and I lost my stepdad in May, and it's just been a lot of, like, sad and heavy things this year, and I feel like in the midst of that, working can be a little bit of an escape from the emotions, and so this next year, I just want to, like, get bold and kind of face some of those things that are not always fun to face, the emotions and things. And I just want to do more things that mean nothing.
Oh, like, good.
Yeah.
Like, you know, watch just Netflix. Fun. Yeah, oh, fun, God. Silly hobbies things that they do not benefit my life in any way except to maybe make me happier. Like, yes, there's no really point good to them. They aren't conquering the world like I normally want to do. But just,
yeah.
More of those in my
that's
life
good.
I think I need. So.
That's good. All right, this one's going to sound like, you know, I'm trying to be all deep and stuff, but I think my goal for 2016 is to enjoy the moment more, to really live in this moment. Mm. I tend to always be thinking about the future and what's coming, and I really I think it's caused me to kind of be a little, I don't know, sad too.
Yeah, totally.
Because I don't know what's coming, and that's okay. I can trust God with that, but just enjoying this moment and all the really cool blessings that I have right now. You know, I have an amazing husband. I have an amazing job. I work with amazing people, and I'm in a really, really happy place. Our marriage has never been better. You know, really focusing on what's really great right now.
That's good.
And being happy in that.
That's good.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to eat better, journal, and be happy.
Yep.
Woo!
We can
those
do
are
this,
good goals.
Guys.
I think
great
so.
Goals.
So share your goal with us with the hashtag JCLP and tell us something that you, serious or not serious, you're looking forward to for, as Zach says, 216.
216.
216.
Coming January 15th, the brand new album from Jesus Culture, Let It Echo. Recorded live at Jesus Culture Church in Sacramento, this album captures the heart of a community seeking after Jesus. The new album and ninth live recording from Jesus Culture includes 12 new songs featuring Kim Walker Smith, Chris Kilala, Brian and Katie Torwalt, and more. Pre-order today and receive Kim Walker Smith's new song, In the River. Available worldwide January 15th. Jesus Culture, Let It Echo.
So this month, the topic is leading with friends. And I love that. It's the holiday season. You're with friends and family a lot. And I don't know, it's a time where we were just talking in our little planning session, how people with different, in different seasons, friendship looks different. And the thing about leading with friends and this whole topic is there's really no right answer, and everybody is in a different spot with it. And so last month, CJ had a women's gathering at our local church, and we talked about it. And I love you brought all these women up and kind of made a panel. There was like a single young adult. There was somebody who was, you know, older and married and middle-aged and just young married. And it was so cool to see everybody is in a different spot with this friendship thing. And we're all kind of looking, men do it too, but maybe women more so. Mm-hmm. We're all kind of looking at each other for like, are you where I am? And what's your friend life look like? And is mine okay? And I think, CJ, you have, a, like you were saying, a really huge heart to see people walk in freedom.
Yeah, I think women, you know, we were talking about social media, and I think social media is a killer for women when it comes to this. For a lot of women, let's just say, not all women, but a lot of women, to it makes you feel like you're doing something wrong or it's not okay. So my heart with bringing this panel on was that all the women could see that their journey is okay right where they're at. If you don't have friends right now, if you have 50,000 friends right now, like, it's all okay, you know, it's not you're not a failure if you don't go to coffee once a week with a group of women, or you're not a failure if you don't have a best friend, or you're not a failure if you do. You know, like it's our own journey that we get to walk through.
Mm-hmm. It's really good. I think you have to move at your own pace, you know. Yeah. Your pace is going to look different than other people's. You know, I'm naturally introverted, so I like being by myself. I like being at home. Mm-hmm. But I do need people, and I recognize that. But I'm not going to be the person that has, you know, 10 really close friends. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be the person that has one or two, really at most, that I really share, you know, who I am and who I am with and let them in. And that's okay. And that's something I've had to learn, because I did feel that pressure of like, well, I have all these extroverted friends who just make friends like this. And they seem to be like going deep all the time. And I like to go deep with people, but I don't like emotionally connect right away with people. And that's just how I'm wired. And I I had to get to a point where I had to accept that and be confident in that. That is who I am. And that's okay.
Mm-hmm. That's good too. And I think as leaders, this, you know, this podcast is directed towards leaders, and we're all on a journey of leading.
Yeah.
We have to be confident in that so that we could lead other people in that. And if we're just kind of running around trying to bend ourselves to what other people's expectations are, or we're comparing, you just can kind of, that's not, it's not going to set you up for really great leadership. And I think, you know, it's just important that we do that. Like, you embrace how you're wired. You recognize how you're wired, embrace it, and then just walk in freedom. And I think of, man, if all of my friends in high school were trying to do that, like if we were trying to lead with our friends and walk in confidence, how many pitfalls we could have probably avoided, you know, but no one was really doing that. And there weren't a lot of women in my life who were like, hey, this is okay. You're just how you are. So if we could walk in that, we could lead other women and young girls to that.
I think you walk in it by taking time to figure out what you like and who you are. Like, so Laura recognizing, I don't like a huge group of friends. I like one or two to go deep with. And then you actually are able to do what you're good at, what makes your heart thrive. And then you are a great friend, rather than constantly trying to be something you're not.
Exactly.
Yeah, and then there's people like me who I see all the, you know, the things on social media, the, you know, girls hanging out and things like that, and I don't think anything of it. And awesome. I don't feel left out. I don't feel any of that. And my husband is the one who's constantly encouraging me, Kim, you need friends. You need some girlfriends. You need to hang out with people, because I'm wired in a way that I'm just go, go, go all the time. And I'm out like trying to conquer the world.
Totally.
And I can be doing it completely alone and not think twice about it. Like, when I need to sit down and connect with someone, I can connect with someone. But otherwise, I'm just like, I keep running. And it hasn't been until, especially the last few years with, you know, Skylar kind of encouraging more in me more in this, is recognizing, oh, okay, yeah, I do need friends. But I need friends who get me, yeah, and mm-hmm. and can run with me and encourage me that. And then also the friends who can jump in and say, hey, I think you should stop, or I think you should slow down, or the mm-hmm. way that you handled that was not very good. Or, yeah. you know, the friends that can yep. be really blunt and bold with you. And, mm-hmm. And that's definitely what I need. My personality, I'm more blunt and bold that way. And so I would say I definitely, you know, need that. But I do think that, you know, part of that issue that the social media feeds is it's the comparison. Mm-hmm. Yep. You know, because you look at that and you start to make a comparison and look at yourself and go, well, what am I not doing right? Am I doing yeah. something wrong? Am I not good enough? Am I not this? Am I not that? And I think that is something that anyone struggles with. This is not just women, but yeah. it's also men, you know, that we, social media, it causes us to sometimes just get in that weird headspace of just so comparing and feeling like we're falling short somehow, or like we're doing something wrong. And I don't want to paint a picture that, you know, social media is evil, but I will say that, you know, my husband does tell me that I'm a happier person when I'm not on social media.
Wow.
He's like pointed out to me before, tell. Like, have you ever noticed that after you've been looking at Facebook, you're like super down on yourself. Aww. And yeah. like feeling kind of like womp womp.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, that's actually Man. True. Like you look at it and you just start to, or even, you know, funny little things like someone posts a picture of their dinner they made and I'm like, ah! Well, I don't have time yeah. to make a dinner like that. Yeah. I've got two babies climbing all over me and screaming, crying. I'm lucky if I get to eat a grilled cheese for dinner.
Totally. Yeah. What? You can buy chicken? I don't even go to the store anymore. What is that?
Right.
Totally.
Or I look at it and go, so oh, good for you. You have 5 kids and somehow you still manage to make a gourmet dinner.
Totally.
Good for you.
Oh,
God. Or look at your so bed true. Is made. Wow. Way to go. Let's all glare at Becky now.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
The grandma.
No, I it was so much for me. I'm a youth pastor now, and I recently talked to my youth group about Instagram, and I got super vulnerable. A lot of the podcasters, like, they'll comment on Derek's pictures, like, where did Becky go? I deleted my Instagram, and it was a huge, even the fact that it was such a hard thing for me to do, even more showed me, I really need to do this. Wow. I was just kind of, I was tied to it in an unhealthy way, I think, mm-hmm. and I noticed that every time I got through looking at it, I did not feel good about myself. Yep. And that's not anybody's issue. That's my issue, and I needed to figure that out. And so me being the drastic and extreme person I am, I deleted it, and everybody's like, you lost all those pictures of your kid and all those memories, but those memories are better in my head.
Yes,
I don't know.
Exactly.
And they're on my mm-hmm. phone somewhere in the camera roll.
It was
roll.
A very good move.
And I feel so much better.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
And I have like a little Facebook for my friends and family to see, to keep up with me. But it was crazy. I could talk a long time about like all the craziness that has come from me deleting it and just how much freer I am mm-hmm. from that stuff. And it's been, hopefully it's inspired a couple of other people that I've talked to about it. Like, you know, we don't need to live in this like frenzy of comparison mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. you don't need to know everything else that everybody else is doing. Like, figure you out.
Yep. And you know, I'm going to throw this out there for all the really creative thinking leaders out there. You know, comparison, the interesting thing in talking about like leading with friends and also this topic of comparison coming up in this is that if you are, especially like, you know, creative minded people, it's interesting. Like, have you ever sat down and started talking to someone and you start talking about the dreams in your heart and they start talking about the dreams in their heart and you can just feel this like electricity and energy building up, and it's like this excitement about what they're doing, about what you're doing. And it's like when you leave that conversation, you feel like super excited and refreshed. Like the wheels in your mind are just spinning and you kind of feel like, yes, I can take on the world. It's like the excitement and the energy, like totally fuels each other. That's like the amazing part of a real friendship not happening on cyberspace. Yeah. But then the other side of that is that comparison actually, it really does kill creativity mm-hmm. in your life. Yeah. And I don't know if leaders, you know, realize that all the time, that when you allow your mind to go down that road of comparison, it will actually, not only is it like harmful for you mentally, but it actually does kill the creative energy That's inside right. mm-hmm. of you. Yeah. It squashes that. And so if you're looking for more creativity in your life, a good place to start is eliminating the comparison.
Yeah. So yeah, the bottom line is no one can be you. Right. I mean, that's just never going to happen. Mm-hmm. And so embrace who you are and what you bring. God designed you to bring something very unique. There is no one on this earth that can bring what you bring. Yeah. And that is the bottom line. That is the fact. And so the sooner you can recognize that and walk in that, the greater your influence is going to mm-hmm. be, the more comfortable you're going to be in your own skin, the more people around you are going to have freedom to be who they are, and you're just going to be a great leader. That's where it starts, embracing who you are.
Yeah. So get the friends that do that.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. That's a good point. On that note, we'll jump into the message. And CJ said something really great at the women's gathering. She said, the greatest thing you can give to somebody is you. Yeah. And so that's what we're saying. So go ahead and check this out. It is a clip from the women's gathering where we talked about what it looks like to be in different seasons of friendship.
I've watched Yari from afar a bit, but she has just an amazing group of friends, and I just kind of wanted to know how she did it. What was the heart behind where she's at right now?
I would say intentionality. You know, I think that a lot of my friends, we are in all different stages of life, you know, and so I think, like, it's easy to, like, I'm married and I have no kids. So it's easy to say, like, okay, so, you know, my friends had a kid, so I'm going to go and find new friends because I can't relate now or whatever. And that's not the case. Like, so I think for me, it's been being intentional with my friends, like pursuing them right where they are. So if that means, like, you know, they use the example of going to the grocery store with them, then I go to the grocery store with them. If that means sitting in the living room and watching TV, I sit in the living room and I watch TV. If, you know, whatever that looks like it's me meeting them there. And I think that it's also been, it's been a decision that I've had to make internally of going, I'm going to pursue, you know, even in the midst of busyness, in the midst of life, because life happens. And, you know, like I said, a lot of my friends, especially my close friends, they all have kids. So they're busy. They have husbands and children and jobs and all kinds of things that they are trying to attend to. So I, you know, it's for me, it's just changing the expectation in my mind of, like, our friendship may not necessarily look like what it looked like 5 years ago, and that's okay. But what can I do now to adapt to this friendship now? And so I think it's just been being intentional, pursuing, in the midst. Like, I know, you know, if they're busy, then what can I do to help? What can I do to be a part of what you're doing or what you're needing right now? And so, and just making a point, you know, like remembering that, yeah, my life is really busy. I have a lot going on, but so do they. So keeping them in mind, like, okay, so this person didn't have a good week last week. I'm going to remember to follow up with them because I want to know how you're doing, what's going on, how are you feeling? So, you know, I think that's been the thing that I've learned to do. And I think it's because over the years, like, I had friends that I loved and that I gave a lot to, and I don't necessarily feel like it was reciprocated to me. And so I know it's something that I want, you know, that I want to be pursued. I want to have intentionality. I want to know how you're doing. And so it's just been something that I've learned to do.
I've, like, heard of Davina for a long time because my daughter from kindergarten on was best friends with her niece. So I'd always hear about her, and now I get to do life with her. And even though she runs 20 miles and intimidates me with that, how do you run 20 miles? Oh my gosh. We were just discussing it, and I was like, I will never do that. I don't want to. But I will stand and cheer you on and eat my French fries. No, I won't. I'll drink water, only water that day. But the next day I'll have French fries. So, I wanted to hear from her what has she done during a season when she doesn't have a lot of friends, and what has the Lord shown you?
Well, for me, I actually had a pretty long season of that, actually. And for me, it just happened to be when my children were little. So I feel like it was a gift. I was a little bit able to recognize my season. And I just kind of knew that the Lord had a group of friends for me. I didn't see them. I couldn't see them on the horizon. And so I just thought, well, in the natural, I'm going to build. So I'm going to build my family, and I'm going to pour myself into my kids. I'm going to be faithful with whatever friendships he brings me. Most of them ended up being fairly superficial. They were important to me, but it was friendships of convenience. We have kids the same age. We'll meet at the park. That can be good enough for now. And so I did that. And in the spiritual, I just kind of thought, okay, well, I'm building my family, Lord. I'm just going to give you permission to build in me and just get me ready for that group of friends that I know you have for me that I don't see. And so he just really was faithful in that season to just work things out in me. He brought specific relationships that really taught me boundaries and how to set boundaries. I learned so much. I look back and I think, had I had the community that I have now then, I don't think I would have handled it. I don't think I was healthy enough. I don't think I had the communication skills. I don't think I had the boundaries. I think I needed that building time. And so I just, in that season of me building my family, which, I mean, I don't regret a minute of not having friends in that season because of all the memories that I have with my children. We just put everything into them in that season when my husband and I both felt like, we don't see our community yet, but okay, we know it's coming. This is what we're going to do until then. And the Lord just really taught me to recognize my season, which has helped me. I feel like I can always kind of sense, okay, this is what season I'm in right now, and I can sense when it's changing. And he taught me not to despise the season I'm in. So it was, even if it's painful, you know, I can't despise it even if I'm not enjoying it, because the fruit that I've seen out of those kind of lonely, specifically in this situation, the lonely season has just been so worth it, you know. And now the richness that I have in my life because of that, I mean, I just wouldn't trade it for anything.
That's really good. That's really good. I think so many moms with little kids feel that, where you're like, have to fight really hard to know who you are and why you are. You know, it just looks different for some people. Some people don't struggle with that. It was a hard time for me. All right, Jesus, I thank you for these women. I thank you for their boldness. I thank you for their tender hearts. And Lord, I thank you that they are willing to lay themselves out there, Lord, and that you see their every need. You see their every cry that they cry, Lord. You see who they are because you made them that way, Lord. And Father, I speak blessing over them, Lord. I ask that you would bring the right friends in. I ask that you would heal the hearts that need healing, Lord. And Father, I just break off any shame or anything that would say you are not good enough or there is something wrong with you. And we break that off in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray that most of all that they would hear exactly what you think of them.
Jesus Culture Conference Sacramento, our annual home city conference, has a deep place in our heart. Every gathering we do is to equip people for a lifestyle of revival, to bring wild and hungry hearts together to worship Jesus. This conference is about an eternal impact. It's special because this is the city that we've chosen to adopt in our hearts, to live for, to burn for. We carry this city in our prayers and point our purpose at seeing this city saved. From this city, we want to impact the nations. From this city, we want to send people out for impact and transformation. From Sacramento, we want our praise to be heard. Join us January 22nd and 23rd, 2016, with special guests Benny Perez, Matt Redman, Havila Cunnington, Chris Durso, Banning Leapshire, and the Jesus Culture Band. Let Jesus' name echo from this city to the ends of the earth. Register today at jesusculture.com/events.
Well, it's that time. We are all done. We are going to pack it up here. We are busy women, and we have a lot to do. Thank you so much for joining us. Leave a review on iTunes. Share this episode with your friends, guy and girl. This is a podcast for both genders, but we are ladies that are conquering the podcast world.
That's right.
And, and hopefully we'll be back sooner than later. We are going weekly podcasts in the new year, so that's exciting. That's something awesome to look forward to.
Woohoo!
So until then, as always, you can check us out on social media at JC Podcast or online at jesusculture.com/podcast. See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
There is not a man or a beast, nothing on the land or underneath. Oh, nothing that could ever come between the love you have for me. I could lay my head in Sheol. I could make my bed at the bottom of the darkness deep. Oh, but there is not a place I could escape you. Your heart won't stop.